Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a powerful truth in song this morning. And to think that God in all His majesty and glory and righteousness would choose to want to have a relationship with us. And the fact that many times we neglect that. And that is to our shame. Thank you for the words of that song that helps us very much this morning. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8, if you'll turn in your Bibles. Going to be preaching out of this passage today, and appreciate the opportunity from our pastor to be able to preach the Word of God, and certainly don't take that lightly. And I've been praying a lot this week about what the Lord would have us to present this morning, and I believe He's directed me to this passage, Proverbs chapter 8. We're going to read verses 32 down through verse 36. If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word, I invite you to do so at this time. Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to read verses 32 down through verse 36 to start this morning. The Bible says in verse 32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death." I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "Choose Instruction or Choose Destruction." Choose instruction or choose destruction. Let's pray and then you can be seated. Lord, we are so thankful, Lord, to be able to be gathered in this place today. We're so thankful for the Sunday school lesson that we've already heard, Lord, and for the powerful music, Lord, preparing our hearts. And Lord, now we're thankful that we're able to open a Bible and look to Your Word and gain that message that You have for us this morning. I pray that You'd be with the preaching of Your Word today, Lord, that it would be exactly what these folks need. I pray that You'd be with our pastor as he's preaching, Lord, as well this morning at Kentucky. I pray that You'd be with him and use him. And I pray that You'd just give us a wonderful service in this place this morning, that You'd speak to our hearts, Lord, that we would be willing to make the decisions that You would have us to make. We love You and we thank You for all these things. In Your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. We hear verse 32, and the Bible says, "Now therefore hearken unto me." And I think we understand the fact that any time you see the word "therefore" in Scripture, what we're about to read, the things that we've just read have to deal with this passage. And so we would look back to the beginning of chapter 8 and reading through the balance of chapter 8, seeing the subject matter about the wisdom and the instruction and the knowledge of God. And we would find here in this passage that God's Word is the only source of absolute truth as we live this life. And I think if you're gathered here today, all of us would probably agree with that fact, that if you're looking for the source of absolute truth, it's found in God's Word. And then we look here in the Scriptures and we see there in verses 10 and 11, we don't have time to read this whole passage of Scripture, but specifically in verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, in knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom," catch this, "is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And as we would read this Scripture, we would find, and we would understand this to be an eternal truth as well this morning, that the finding of God's wisdom and the finding of God's instruction and the getting of His knowledge is even more important than our own prosperity and our own wealth, than the dollars that we would make by working a job. And the Bible says all these things cannot be compared to it. And so we would say, first of all, this morning, that the getting of the wisdom of God is of utmost importance, specifically for the Christian life, and as we seek to live this Christian life. And then we see here, then, that in verse 32, the Bible says, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children." And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I encourage you to underline this phrase, "For blessed are they that keep my ways." For blessed are they that keep my ways. And the idea here is God is now applying the getting of wisdom and the hearing of instruction to the Christian life. In the fact that God has given us everything that we need to have as Christians through His Word. And now if we'll hearken unto that and we'll listen to the voice of God as He preaches to us through His Word, we will keep His ways and we'll have the blessings of God upon our lives as we live the Christian life. And by the way, for the Christian, that is the most important thing. That you live this life with God in mind, understanding what His Word says to you and how you should live this life. And then God is able to lead you and guide you and to bless you as you go through this life. And I think that it's important to stop and understand, listen, this is not having to do with salvation. The idea of having the blessings of God, listen, you will never be more saved or less saved than the day that you call upon Jesus Christ, your Savior. And no matter how you live this life, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, you will not lose that salvation. That's an eternal promise that God has given to us. But what is true this morning is that you can live your life in such a way so as to not have God leading you and guiding you as you go through this life. And you can choose your own way and not have God's power upon your life and not have God's blessing upon your life and not have the peace and the joy that comes in a relationship with Him as you walk through this life. As I thought about this, I thought about the fact that a wise father will bless good behavior. They'll bless good behavior. Why? Because they want to foster that type of behavior in their child. They want to see as their child, listen, as we give commands to their child and they ask them to honor them and obey them, when that child does so, a wise father is very smart to be able to pat them on the back or to be able to reward them and say, listen, I want to foster that type of behavior, therefore there's some rewards that come along with that type of behavior. On the opposite side of that, a wise father will not bless wrong behavior. A wise father will not look at his child and give them a command, and that child looks at that father and says, no, I will not do that. And then the father, if they're wise, will not say, well, let's go get some ice cream. Congratulations, you've just dishonored your dad. And what a sad thing, many times you'll see this out in public, a parent will begin to speak to their child and they're giving them commands and that child does not want to cooperate. And they may be in the grocery store and that parent's saying, if you'll just stop crying, if you'll just stop throwing that fit, and they'll start offering them candy bars and all kinds of things like that. Listen, what does that tell to that child? It says, keep on doing it. We're rewarding bad behavior. Listen, a wise father will not reward bad behavior. It would send that message that the type of behavior is completely unacceptable. Now, I grew up in a home that I would say I had a very wise father. Looking back on that relationship in our home. And I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but I was kind of strong-headed as a child. And there were times when my very wise father would give a command. My dad didn't make a habit of repeating himself. Many of you grew up in very same type of home. My dad would give me a command, and he gave me one chance to follow that command or pay the consequences. And you know, as a child growing up, I didn't always understand why he wanted me to do certain things. And because of my own defiance, many times I paid dearly through a punishment for dishonoring or disobeying my dad. I didn't always understand, but you know, as I matured and I got to be a little bit older, and even now standing in the shoes of where my dad once stood and having my own children, I now see the wisdom in the things in my life that he would have me do. Things like looking both ways before going out in the street. I had two older brothers. We loved to play football and basketball and baseball and all those kinds of things. And there, on more than one occasion, after I had been told by my dad, if you have to go to the street, look both ways. The ball goes out there and I just darted out there to get it. And on more than one occasion, I paid the price for doing that through a punishment from my dad. I now see the importance of that with my own children. I understand why you don't go running into the street. They don't always understand that, but as a kid, I didn't, and now growing up. Things like eating food that's healthy for you. You know, every parent says, eat your vegetables. Unless that parent doesn't like vegetables, then they wouldn't say that, but most parents say that to their children. As a kid, I didn't understand why that made such a big difference in my life. Being older now, I understand the idea of eating foods that are healthy, foods that are good for you, foods that will help you grow. As a kid, I never wanted to take a nap. What kid likes to take a nap? Now as an adult, if you could have all those naps back that you gave up as a kid, everyone would want those, you know? I see the value of getting the rest that my body needed, and on more than one occasion, I would sneak out of my room during nap time, and my mom always caught me. I don't know how she did that. And I would get in trouble for that. But I want you to understand this morning, listen, as an immature kid, those things didn't make much sense to me. But they were for my good. And as a dad now, listen, I see the same cycle with my kids. Much of the same thing. Some of you have said this. How did I turn into my dad? Those things that are coming out of my mouth, how did that happen? I can hear my dad all over that. And the same things that my parents taught me as a kid. I now see that same cycle with my own kids. And I've had this thought, and I know you, again, will find this hard to believe, but there are times when I'll give a command to one of my kids or I'll ask them to do something, and you probably have experienced this as well. Sometimes that 9-year-old that lives in my house sometimes thinks he knows more than dad does. Sometimes that 7-year-old or the 6-year-old or even the 2-year-old that lives in my house think they know more than mom and dad do. And so when mom and dad give a command, in their mind they're thinking, I know better than mom and dad. I'm going to do things my own way. And listen, being a wise father, we cannot allow that to happen. And I've had many a conversation like this upon my children's direct disobedience. I'll look them in the eye and I'll say, why did you just do that? Why did you just do that? Did you not know that you weren't supposed to do that? Did you not know that mom or dad had already told you? Did you not hear our instructions? And any of you that have children, you know the look when they look up in your eyes and they realize, I've done something I wasn't supposed to do. And there is no excuse for what I've just done. And there's nothing that they can come back at me with that excuse. And listen, being a wise father, we cannot reward that behavior. And I want you to understand this morning, listen, if that is true, if that principle applies to our earthly relationship with our earthly parents in our earthly home, how much more does that principle apply to our heavenly relationship with our heavenly Father? Yes. In our heavenly home, and the fact that God often gives us, in fact, in His Word, the Bible shows us that very clearly in His Word, God gives us a way to live this life, and yet we'll choose whether to heed His instructions or we'll choose our own destructions. But I'm here to say this morning that God will not bless wrong behavior. And God will not be able to honor us and give us the blessings and lead us and guide us throughout our lives if we're not looking to Him and not hearing His instruction. And I wonder sometimes if, much like I stand over my kids and say, why did you do that? In the times in which we choose to directly disobey or go against God's commands, if God's not standing there looking at us in eyes of love, someone that's just been disobeyed and no doubt disappointed in my actions as a Christian person and looking at me and saying, why? Why'd you do that? Did you not notice that was in the Scriptures? Did you not notice this is not how I would have you to live your life? That activity that you're involved in, that's not how I would have you live your life as a Christian? Don't you long to know, or don't you know, I long to bless you in your Christian life. I long to give you rewards for living this Christian life, but I cannot bless that type of behavior. I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, because I want you to see this principle played out in the New Testament for us as Christians. Hebrews chapter 12. Speaking of our relationship with the Lord, the Bible says in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know, one of the blessings of our relationship with our Heavenly Father is that there are blessings that come and are associated with us following after God. But on the flip side of that, when we disobey God, God in His love for us is able to deal with us as though we are His children, and we are His children. And God is able to allow a chastisement to come into our lives to help us to realize, listen, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to deal with the chastisement of the Lord. And the Bible says, listen, as a Christian, be thankful for that. And accept that rebuke and that chastisement that comes along in the Christian life. Because that's God's way of helping us to realize, listen, I don't want to make that choice anymore. I don't want to go against God's commands anymore. Listen, the truth is this morning that we've all read the instructions of God's Word. I doubt any of us are ignorant of the commands of Scripture and how God wants us to live our lives. In fact, if you have a copy of the Word of God, and even from a child, you were brought up knowing right from wrong. And I doubt any of us are ignorant of these things, but it leaves us sort of with a conundrum in our own lives. Because the truth is, while we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, we still have this sinful nature and this fleshly nature. And so at all times there's a battle that's raging within us. The flesh is fighting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And listen, we have a lot of control about who we yield to in that fight. We can yield to the flesh or we can yield to the Spirit. But I love it because God realizes that you deal with a sinful nature. And it'd be one thing if God just set us here on this earth and saved us and He said, all right, figure it out on your own. Find your own way to go about life and to honor me. But no, we don't see that God did that. God gave us a Bible and God gives us every opportunity to be able to obey Him and honor Him and live the Christian life how He would have us to live that life. And while God expects us to live the Christian life, He also realizes we do battle with the flesh and the Spirit on a daily basis. And so He's given us His Word. He's given us His instruction manual for us to live this life. But this morning I want you to see that we must choose His instruction. We must choose His instruction as we live this life. I want you to look back in chapter 8 and verse 1. The Bible says there in verse 1, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart." The truth is, listen, it'd be one thing if God gave us His Word but made it very difficult to follow His commands. It'd be one thing if God had said, figure it out on your own. But God has made it so plain to us. He's given us His Word, and the Bible says it's as though wisdom stands on the housetops and is shouting out, follow after me. Find the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God through the Scriptures. As the Bible says there, doth not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her voice? It's as though God is standing on the housetop or the rooftop shouting out, listen, if you want to follow after me, it's right here. Everything you need is found in God's Word to live this Christian life. Amen. But it's going to be up to you and I whether we're going to choose to listen to those instructions. As a Christian, we have to choose to listen to the instructions of God. And by the way, I might add here this morning that God has made His Word so readily available so that each and every one of us are without excuse for what's found in God's Word. Listen, one of these days we'll stand before God as Christians. If you're a Christian here this morning, you'll stand before God at the judgment, the bema seat there, and you'll give an account for the things done in this Christian life. And none of us will look at God and say, I'm sorry, I didn't see that in the Bible. I was ignorant of that passage. Listen, that excuse will not stand on the day of judgment as we stand before God. And the same thing is true for those that are unsaved. As you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will not stand before God and you will not say, listen, I didn't realize you were the only way to heaven. There is no excuse because God has given to us His Word and He has allowed us to have His Word to be able to proclaim it and to read it and understand how we need to live this life. Listen, for the Christian that doesn't choose to listen to the instructions, doesn't choose to follow after the instruction manual, the Bible says our sins and iniquities, they've driven us away from Him. They've separated us. There's a rift in that relationship. And listen, because of that, we cannot have God's blessings in our lives. Because we're choosing our own way. We're going against what God so clearly has commanded for us. And no doubt, like a father looks to his child who's just disobeyed him, and he asks him, why? Why did you do that? Listen, as Christians, if we have a Bible, we are without excuse. Can't look to God and say we're ignorant. I'm sorry, God, I didn't see that in the Scriptures. I didn't know that I shouldn't live my life like that. God gives us no excuses. But it doesn't have to be that way, Christian. In fact, it can be a whole lot different than that. And God has made it easy. Listen, as Christians, we can choose His instructions. And I want you to see from this text here in Proverbs chapter 8, just a few things this morning in choosing His instructions. First of all, we must choose to hear His instruction. Amen. Must choose to hear His instruction. Look at verse 33. The Bible says, hear instruction and be wise. Then in verse 34, He says, blessed is the man that heareth me. Understand the idea that God is giving to us this morning. Listen, as Christians, we have to put ourselves in the place to hear God speak to us. We have to make every opportunity to place ourselves under the preaching and teaching of God's word so that we can hear God speak to us. Now, some of you may be like me. I'm not much of an instruction manual kind of guy. You know, those, especially now that I have kids, those boxes that you get at Christmas and you give them to your kids, and it's got a huge toy inside, but the box is about that big, and it says some assembly required. I don't know if you're like me, but I'd rather just kind of bypass the instructions, figure it out on my own. But I've found, after I've gotten a little bit older, that too many times of skipping the instructions, I've realized, you know, while it may seem like a waste of time to pull out that instruction manual and follow, I found that a lot of times I'll put something together, it'll be done wrong, and there's a lot of parts left over here, and I'm thinking, that desk is supposed to be straight, not the tabletop tilted like that. I obviously skipped a step in the instructions. Find myself going and getting that instruction manual, opening it up again, and doing it the right way, the second time. And the truth is, listen, every product that says some assembly required, almost all of them come with an instruction manual. But it doesn't force you to use it to put it together. You have to pick it up. You have to read those instructions. You have to heed or hear those instructions. And the truth is this morning, listen, for the Christian, God will not bombard you with His Word, but He's made it readily available. He's given you every opportunity to be able to pick up the instruction manual and to be able to hear the instructions that come from God. But we have to put ourselves in that place to hear His instructions. They're available, but you have to pick them up for them to make a difference. I'm saying this morning, as Christians, listen, every one of us need to spend daily some time in God's Word hearing what He has for us. And God has a message in His Word every time we pick up the Bible, and if we're ready to hear that, God will speak to us through that. As the song said just a few moments ago, God longs to spend the day with us, and God longs to speak to us through His Word and for us to have that relationship with Him, but we have to take advantage of that, to pick up the Bible and read it. I'm saying this morning that we have to make every opportunity to be at church and to hear the message from God's Word, and not simply just on Sunday mornings, but every time the doors are open, every time a preacher stands from this pulpit, God has a message in His Word. And there's no doubt about it. Listen, as a pastor, God has given our pastor some pastoral knowledge and some wisdom that you won't receive anywhere else but from the pulpit and from the preaching of God's Word. But we have to take advantage of that. We have to put ourselves in that place to be able to hear the preaching of God's Word so that we can choose His instruction and so that we can live this life how He'd have us to live this life. Not only do we need to hear His instruction, but secondly, I want you to see that we need to receive and apply His instruction. Receive and apply His instruction. Look what He says in verse 33. He says, hear instruction and be wise. But then He says, and refuse it not. Receive the instruction. Not just hear it, but receive it. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. With an eagerness that not only am I going to put myself under the preaching of God's Word, but I'm going to hear God's Word, and I'm going to receive God's Word, and I'm going to apply it to my life. You know, the truth is, it's sometimes easy to hear, but not receive. Just ask my wife. She would give you example after example. There are times when she is talking with me, and sometimes I'm preoccupied with other things, and she's saying something to me, and I'm listening to her, but maybe doing something else, and she'll stop, and she'll smile at me or start laughing sometimes, most of the time. Sometimes gets a little upset with me. And she'll say, did you hear what I just said to you? And most of the time I can rattle it off right back to her. You know, I can tell her exactly what she told me, but she knows, and I know I haven't received it. And I certainly haven't applied it. I haven't done what I'm supposed to do. And many of us could get testimony. And listen, if that's true, even in our relationships, you know, the truth is we can come to church and we can hear the instruction of God's Word, but not receive it. We can open up our Bibles in the morning and begin to study God's Word, and we can hear the instruction, but we don't receive it. And if we don't hear it, or if we hear it and we don't receive it, how much more is it true that possibly you could hear and receive the instruction from God's Word, but maybe not put it into application in our lives? We just came through a wonderful week of revival. Started with a men's conference Friday and Saturday. Brother Sam Davison presented powerful messages all day Sunday. Monday through Wednesday, a different format than we're used to of having a different man preach each night. And I'm telling you, every night the altars were lined. God did a mighty work through our revival. And listen, there were many of you that were here and you heard the Word of God preached and even in that moment received it. But did we apply it? Now, 3 or 4 days later, are we different because of the messages that we've heard? Have we put them into application in our life? Or did we fall short of hearing and receiving and not applying it? You see, the man who receives the blessings of God is the one who is waiting for God to speak to him. Every time he opens up the Word of God, it's like he realizes God is going to speak to me, and there's an eagerness and there's an excitement. Every time I come through the doors of the church, listen, God's going to have his man stand up from the pulpit and preach God's Word, and I'm going to receive something from God's Word. And in verse 34, he says, blessed is that man. He says, who's watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, because he knows something good is about to happen. Tonight, here in the city of Indianapolis, there's a rather large football game that'll be played here. I've heard it said that it's during this week that it's the biggest game the Colts will play all season long. Peyton Manning comes into town with a new team for the first time coming back here as a Denver Bronco. And if that game starts about 8:30, I imagine there at Lucas Oil Stadium, they'll open the doors probably around 6 this evening. But I would guarantee you, if you went to downtown this afternoon, before 6 or before they open the doors, you would find some people standing at the gates ready to get into that ball game. You'd find some diehard fans. Some would be wearing their Broncos jersey. Some would be wearing their Colts jersey. But they want to be the first one in that stadium, to be the first one to see their team warm up, possibly to have a chance to get autographs or to take some pictures with their favorite player. And they're eager. And I would just want to say this evening that one of those two fans is going to be disappointed after tonight's game. One of them is going to go home and say, I can't believe I spent this much money to watch my team play and they let me down. They're going to say, I gave up a whole afternoon and I possibly flew in from somewhere, got a hotel room, I spent all this money, took all this time out of my day, and my team let me down. But I want to help you to understand this morning, for the Christian that's standing at the post of God's doors, the Christian that comes to church and is eager and excited, the Christian that takes his Bible and opens it up and says, Lord, would you speak to me through your word? God will never disappoint that Christian. And God will speak to that Christian every time they have the word of God open. May we hear his instruction, but then receive it and apply it to our Christian life. And then when we hear his word and we receive it and apply it, it becomes life-changing. Begin to develop the mind of Christ. Begin to think of things how Christ would have us to think of things. The little decisions that we make in life, those things that at one point seemed a little bit more difficult, now it's a little bit easier. You know why? Because we've matured as Christians. Because we've heard God's word. We've received God's word. We've applied it to our lives. It makes living the Christian life easier. And that's exactly how God would have it to be. That's why he's given us his word, so that we can develop the mind of Christ and so that we can choose his instruction over choosing our own way and our own path as we live this life. I want you to see here as we conclude just the last two verses. First of all, choosing his instruction begins with choosing God over all other things. Look what he says in verse 35. He says, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. I understand this. If you've come here today, listen, if you're seeking for something, the only way you can choose the right way is to choose God over everything else. Many churches will preach a different way to heaven, or that there's many ways to heaven, and yet God in his word has said, listen, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Listen, if you're going to choose his instruction, first of all, you have to choose Jesus above any other thing. Amen. You have to choose salvation. But when you've chosen salvation, guess what? That opens up that opportunity. He says there, whoso findeth me findeth life, salvation, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Once we've found salvation, once we've looked to God and said, Jesus, I'm trusting in you alone to get me to heaven, now I can begin living this Christian life, and I open myself up for the opportunity to have the favor of God in my life. And I would simply say to you this morning, listen, while every Christian qualifies, or while every Christian has the opportunity for God's blessing and God's favor in their life, sadly, Many Christians don't qualify for that blessing of God's favor in their life because they've chosen their own way. They've chosen to go against God's word. They've chosen to ignore the commands of Scripture. And God says, as a wise father, I cannot bless that type of behavior. And there's a punishment that has to come from that. But praise the Lord for those that choose to hear and receive His instruction. God works in their lives. We understand the alternative to choosing His instruction is to choose our own destruction. Listen, as a Christian, if I'm not hearing God's word and if I'm not receiving God's word and I'm not applying it to my life, guess what I'm doing? I'm choosing against His instruction. I'm choosing my own destruction. Look what the Bible says there in verse 36. He says, "But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." I think we're all aware of the fact that as a Christian or an unsaved person, each one of those groups of people, as individuals, you can sin against God, whether you're saved or unsaved. And God has not removed from the Christian the ability to sin against Him. We still have that sinful nature inside of us. It's part of the reason God gives us His Word to help us to choose Him over the sinful nature. But from time to time, we choose to go against God's commands. And when we start doing that, we choose our own destruction. And I want you to understand, listen, when that takes place, when you choose to go against God's commands, it's a deliberate choice. It's a willing action to disobey God in the Christian life. It's a willing choice that we make. It's not just an oops, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. No, we make a willing choice to go against God's word and His commands. And when that happens, we miss out on the peace and the joy and the happiness and the relationship that God so longs for us to have. And listen, as we do that, there begins to be a turmoil in our own hearts and in our own lives. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We must understand that the presence of direct disobedience in my life results in my relationship with the Savior suffering. I'll say that again. Listen, the presence of direct disobedience in my heart and my life as a Christian results in my relationship with the Savior suffering. And that's not on Him. That one's on me. That's my choice. The Lord longs to give us the relationship and to lead us and to guide us. And if my relationship is suffering with the Lord, it's my fault. And if you're here this morning, maybe internally, there's just a struggle and there's a lack of peace, a lack of joy, a lack of happiness as you live this Christian life. Can I say that Jesus hasn't given you that? That's a result of your own internal struggle, of choosing the flesh over the Spirit. And listen, for the Christian, God cannot bless that. God cannot give us the peace. God cannot give us the joy, the happiness. And in our Christian lives, we lack that when we choose to sin against God. Our innermost being is in turmoil. That struggle, it's like we're knotted up inside because we realize how life used to be when I did have the peace and the joy, the relationship. Yet now it seems like when I even kneel down to pray, my prayers don't get much past the ceiling. It's like God is not hearing my prayers because of the sin and the iniquity that's part of my own life. Listen, I ask you this question. Do you think that's how God meant the Christian life to be lived? Do you think that's what God desires for His children? To constantly be in turmoil and a struggle? I say to you this morning, that's not the way God would have us live this life. The Bible tells us the Good Shepherd came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The picture that He has for our lives is a picture of peace and joy and happiness as we live this Christian life. And even when we go through the trials of this life, we can still have peace that God is at work in our lives. Still have control. But when we choose against God, when we choose against His instruction, we don't have that peace. Don't have that joy. Don't have that happiness. Much like the rebellious teenager who's in turmoil with their parents. And listen, as they choose to not honor their parents, there's just a struggle in the home and there's a turmoil. And it's all the time, it's fighting and it's at odds. And it's like the parents are saying, listen, we long to bless this child. We long to be able to give them things, but we cannot while they're not honoring me. And the same thing is true with our Savior. He's looking at us as Christians and He's saying, I long to bless your life. I long to be able to lead you and guide you. I long to be able to provide for you as you live this Christian life. But you've not chosen me. You've not chosen my ways. You've chosen to go in your own way. And I cannot bless that behavior. And every time we disobey Him, He's asking us why. Why'd you do that? Why'd you go against me? Didn't you know that was in the Bible? Didn't you know you're not supposed to live your lives that way? And as that child, we look up to our Father in heaven. We have no excuse for that behavior. A Christian doesn't have to be that way. I remind you of the words found in verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children. Just take God's word out. Hear God's word. Receive the instruction of God's word. Apply it to your life. It says, hearken unto me, O ye children. And for blessed are they that keep my ways. I encourage you this morning, Christian. We want to live the life that God can bless. It starts with choosing His instruction. It starts with putting ourselves in the place to hear God speak. And not only to hear God speak, but receive that message and apply it to our lives. And when we don't do that, we choose our own destruction. As the Bible says there in verse 36, it says, He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. It says, it goes on to say, all they that hate me love death. It says, even for the unsaved person, listen, there's a choice to make. You're either going to choose me or you're going to choose death, eternal separation from me. God puts us all at a place of decision today. Are we going to choose to hear His instruction? Are we going to choose to follow God's commands? For the unsaved person, that means looking to Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven, accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. For the Christian, that means opening up your Bible and receiving the instruction that God has for you and making the choices that God would have for you as you live this Christian life. I trust that each and every one of us would hear the instruction of God's Word and receive it and apply it to our lives. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Appreciate so much the way that you've listened. I believe this has been the message that God would have for us. You know, it's so easy to place yourself in church and just sometimes even go through the motions. Another Sunday, another Sunday school class, another preacher getting up and preaching God's Word. Many times we can take even that for granted. And God has given us so much in His Word. He says, child, I long to have a relationship with you. I long for you to look to me as you live this life, to choose the instruction that comes from my word, as that is the only way to live this life. This morning, each and every one of us will make the choice. We'll either choose His instruction or we'll choose our own destruction. In just a moment, we're going to have a hymn of invitation. Invitation's time to come and allow God to work in your heart, to respond to what God has done already in this place. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, I encourage you, as others have already come to the altar, to use this altar. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for this message from Your Word. I pray that You'd help us to choose Your instructions in our lives. Lord, in so doing, we'll choose to have Your blessings upon us. I pray that You'd help us. I pray that there's someone in here today that doesn't know You as their personal Savior, that today they would come to this altar and find a worker that can take them from a Bible and show them how they can know for sure they'll spend eternity with You in heaven. We love You and we thank You for all these things. In Your name I pray. Amen.